Hello, I'm Molly Wolf. This month, we're taking you to California, to one of the largest almond orchards in the U.S., to learn about how the Xerxes Society is having an impact on the protection of pollinators, like bees.
This is A Taste of General Mills, a podcast about the people, projects, and brands of General Mills.
Without healthy, vibrant bee colonies, one out of every three bites of food is in danger of disappearing. Bee populations across North America have fallen dramatically in recent years. Researchers suspect several factors could be at work, but one of the big threats to bees is the loss of their natural habitat and food supply. According to the USDA Farm Service Agency, bees have experienced an unprecedented scale of habitat loss, with more than 9 million acres of grass and prairie land converted to cropland since 2008. General Mills has been at the forefront of protecting pollinator habitats for the past 6 years. We are the largest supporter of pollinators within the food industry and have been working on this issue since 2011 when we planted native grasses and flowering plants at an agricultural research center in Minnesota. Since then, we've contributed millions of dollars to plant thousands of acres of pollinator habitat throughout North America. And you've probably seen our brands get involved in the effort, like Honey Nut Cheerios, Annie's, Cascadian Farm, Larabar, Mira Glen, and Nature Valley. I recently spent some time at Olam's Almond Orchard near Fresno, California. It's home to one of the largest projects we've supported through Xerxes Society, with numerous wildflowers, hedgerows, and many plants and shrubs. And it's where I talked to Eric Lee Motter, who co-directs the Xerxes Society's Pollinator Conservation Program. I started by asking him to explain what the Xerxes Society is and does.
The Xerxes Society is sort of the Audubon Society of insects. We take our name from the now extinct Xerxes blue butterfly, which was the first butterfly that went extinct in North America as a result of habitat loss. And it's sort of a symbol of our mission as an organization. And within Xerxes, we've got a couple of core program areas. We have people working on butterfly conservation today, the conservation of freshwater mussels, working to enhance protections for endangered species, endangered insects or invertebrates that don't get a lot of attention in mainstream conservation efforts. My particular program and the program that my team is a part of is the Pollinator Conservation Program within Xerxes, which works primarily with farmers and agricultural stakeholders to enhance pollinator habitat and pesticide protection for pollinators in working farmlands.
Talk about how you work with General Mills, when our relationship began, and what it enables you to do in the fields.
We started working with General Mills 5 or 6 years ago, initially helping them to understand the role of pollinators in sort of the larger General Mills supply chain. And initially, much of that work was focused on some demonstration projects. We had a really wonderful demonstration project with the Muir Glen brand team around hedgerows for tomato production to enhance the role of bumblebees as pollinators in and around tomato fields. And we had some similar demonstration projects at the old Le Sueur, Minnesota research farm with Tom Rabay, the agronomist at General Mills. And slowly we sort of moved beyond that proof of concept phase to really integrating habitat into the supply chain at a functional scale. So what you see, for example, right here, this hedgerow represents pollinator habitat at a working farm scale. Here we're looking at more than 1,000 acres of almonds adjacent to this hedgerow. This hedgerow will support and maintain some level of pollinator abundance and pollinator diversity throughout the growing season, and those pollinators will trickle out into the almond orchard. And this model of providing this large-scale functional habitat with supplier farms is the wave of the future. This is the direction we're going. In addition to the direct supply chain work, the generous support of General Mills has made it possible for us to add core members of our core members of new staff to our pollinator program team. So, for example, working with General Mills and the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, we've put together this public-private partnership that is adding six new members to our team. These are ecologists who have formal training in pollinator conservation and know how to install habitat at a large functional farm scale. And those people are embedded in USDA offices across the United States, where they go out and they work directly with farmers. They provide one-on-one technical consulting to farmers to help really spread this model throughout a whole spectrum of different farm sectors across the country.
So what energizes you most about the work?
One of the really exciting things about this type of work is that it stacks different environmental benefits. So we do this work specifically to support pollinators, pollinator diversity, pollinator abundance, to increase the sheer numbers of bees on a farm. But what we find is that these same conservation practices provide these other benefits. So, for example, this hedgerow is right now helping to reduce the wind pressure on this adjacent almond orchard. In the process of doing that, it's reducing dust blowing into the orchard. It's reducing spider mite populations, a pest of almonds that are exacerbated by dusty, dry conditions. The cover crops that we've put into this orchard enhance the organic matter in the soil. They increase the water holding capacity of the soil. And in drought conditions like we've had in California over the past decade, it's a really, really critical contribution that those cover crops are making beyond simply increasing bee numbers. We also think that a lot of these conservation features are helping to sequester carbon in the soil. And we are now beginning the process of really digging in and investigating the role of cover crops and pollinator hedgerows to soil carbon sequestration and trying to quantify these multiple benefits. And for me, this is really, I think, the most rewarding part of this type of conservation model is that it brings together a lot of different objectives under this umbrella of pollinator conservation.
General Mills has really made protecting pollinators a big priority. I understand you also now have other companies coming to you looking to help.
A lot of companies today are, I think, rightfully seeing this as the future of farming and the future of food. And more we see companies of all stripes coming and contacting Xerces and working through our partners with the USDA to try and make this type of conservation a core part of their business. General Mills has been at the forefront of this movement and was in many cases the earliest adopter on a large scale. And I think they continue to set the pace for what pollinator conservation can look like and quite frankly, what I think it will have to look like in the future if we want to continue to eat and if we want to continue to be able to source the ingredients that make up our diet.
After a short break, one more clip from my interview with Eric. You'll want to hear his advice for you about how we can all play a role in pollinator protection.
It's time for the General Mills History Minute. I'm Jessica Fauché, the corporate archivist at General Mills. The effort to protect pollinators and bees has even featured our most famous bee. You may have seen the recent Honey Nut Cheerios campaigns in the U.S. and Canada that took his image off the cereal box to raise awareness of the declining bee population. He has been around since the start of the brand in 1979 in advertisements, but he didn't have a name until 2000. That's when NBC's Matt Lauer and Katie Couric helped Honey Nut Cheerios launch an essay contest on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Parade viewers on TV and in person that year watched our giant bee balloon float above the New York City streets as Matt and Katie talked about the contest. By the way, you can see that balloon in our show notes. Christine Tong of Coolidge, Texas, won the essay contest when the Honey Nut Cheerios team selected her name submission, Buzzbee.
Final question for you, Eric. We focused a lot of this interview on the large-scale pollinator work that the Xerces Society and General Mills are involved in, like right here in California. But what can each of us do, say, individually to protect pollinators and their habitat?
Everybody can play a role in pollinator conservation, whether you're a farmer and you can put in habitat on this type of scale, or whether you've got a garden, whether that garden is a big backyard vegetable garden or simply a flower pot on a windowsill. Even that single flower pot, if you put a sunflower or some blooming plant in it, it can become habitat for bees. And think about if everybody in a city put a flower pot outside their window or outside their door, suddenly that entire city is a field of flowers. So the first thing that people can do is really embrace that habitat of creating habitat in whatever landscape they are a part of. The second thing that you can do as a gardener or a farmer or a consumer is try to reduce the need for insecticides. And if you're a farmer, there are these concepts like enhancing habitat for beneficial insects to reduce the need for insecticides. If you're a backyard gardener, oftentimes you can avoid pesticide use entirely. You don't necessarily need to treat every cosmetic problem. And if you're a consumer, you can embrace brands that are working to reduce the role of pesticides in their supply chain and working to increase the role of habitat in their supply chain. And those are really kind of the core principles of pollinator conservation. And regardless of who you are, you can plug into that movement.
Hopefully you're inspired to help too after hearing from Eric Lematter and about the work of the Xerxes Society. To see the almond orchard where I did that interview, head to the A Taste of General Mills blog for photos and a video about the project there. Thanks for listening. Join us again next month.
This is the A Taste of General Mills podcast. For more information, visit blog.generalmills.com. Have a question for us? Want to suggest a topic for a future episode? Let us know. Send an email to contact.blog@genmills.com.